Melbourne, then came across the big pond and received her master's and PhD at the University of California, Davis. Allison is the Animal Genomics and Biotechnology Extension Specialist at the University of California, Davis. And I got to believe, Allison, are you still the only one of your kind? Are there any other?
In animals, yeah.
In animals, right? So Allison is very unique and in many ways, but certainly her knowledge, and she does a great job. In fact, I got to tell a story on Allison. I met Allison the first time. We were both on a program at Cal Poly, at the Cal Poly open house before the bull sale. And I thought one was a compliment to you that Cal Poly would invite somebody from the University of California to speak. But then when I heard Allison's presentation, how well she related animal genomics to the producers and the audience, I was convinced that that's why they invited you, because obviously you relate really well to producers, Allison, and it's a real compliment to you. So Allison also serves on the NBCEC Board of Directors, which is why she snuck in here a few minutes ago to give this presentation, and she's, are you going to have to go back right after you're done? So I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to hold all the rest of our questions until the end, with the exception of Allison. So Allison, it's okay. We'll allow you to take a couple of questions before you head back to your meeting. So Allison, come on up.
All right. Thank you for the invitation today. It's a pleasure to be here and talk about my experiences with SNPs, which have gone from kind of the really beginnings of it, and that was a pretty ugly beginning, through to, through to the more recent SNP panels. And my interest has really just been doing multi-sire parentage evaluation using SNPs. And the first trial I'm going to talk about was done actually in conjunction with Fraser Rancher here a couple of years ago at NBCC, getting the commercial producer, CIS getting the commercial producer award. It's a really beautiful location to work, but that wasn't the only reason I chose this ranch. I also chose this ranch because they have a large number of sires that run with a big mob of cattle, and that's kind of an unusual situation. And they have 27 herd sires and 624 offspring was what we did the analysis with. And at the time we did this, which was 2005-ish, there was a new SNP panel come out that was 28 SNPs that was available for $9.99 from a commercial company. Some of you may be familiar with that. And so that kind of brought parentage into potentially kind of an economic zone for commercial cattle producers. And so we were just interested in using this panel. And the papers at the time, there were a couple of papers out suggesting 28 to 32. Would be sufficient to actually do parentage identification, and if you have one or two bulls, maybe they are powerful enough, but as we found, we had some problems. So basically, we didn't know who the sires of these cows were, so we used microsatellites and a ridiculously powerful panel of microsatellites. We had 23 microsatellites, which gave us a really high exclusion probability. And I'm sure most of the room knows that means the probability of excluding a sire from a calf randomly drawn from the population. And that was basically our gold standard, so that we knew who the actual sire was. And then we compared that to genotyping based on these 28 SNP panel that was available at the time. And all of the data I'm going to talk about in this first part is actually published in the Journal of Animal Science in 2007, if you wanted to read more about it. So basically, the results we got, the microsatellite panel, not surprisingly, performed fairly well. We had 84% assigned to one possible sire, and then only four of those animals were assigned to more than one sire. What we weren't expecting and what you will face in commercial ranch situations is that we had a large number of calves where we had a lot of immaculate conceptions in California, or else more likely bulls that weren't known were removed from the pasture. I don't think we had fence jumpers, but this is actually an isolated herd because they use the medical applications of those cattle. And an interesting point I'll just bring up here is we had these 11 resubmits, and basically what they were animals that had DNA from more than one animal located in the DNA sample, which you may be familiar with. Maybe they were twins in utero. But that is one advantage that microsatellites have that SNPs is always going to suffer from, and that is you can't tell by looking at a SNP genotype whether or not you've got mixed samples. You'll just maybe see heterozygote, whereas in the case of microsatellites, you'll see four loci four alleles in every loci, and so it'll be clear that you've got a mixed sample. But that was basically the results we got. So they're our gold standard results. And then when we ran this SNP panel, which was 28 SNPs with a probability exclusion of about 95%, we had a pretty large number of the animals that were assigned to more than one sire, and that was allowing no exclusion in the SNP panel. In fact, I think our average is about four sires per calf. We had only 20% that were assigned to one possible sire, and this is really interesting. We had a great drop in the number of all excluded. In other words, we were assigning sires to calves whose sires were not in our group of animals we were testing, and we actually did get data from all of it, but as we'll see, this was actually something that we used a program that was developed by John Pollock at Cornell called SIAMatch to give us some probabilities to try to weight it towards which was actually the correct sire. But I think especially in certain applications, this is a very high number of more than one sire is being allowed. And when you looked at what you would expect when you've got the number of bulls that weed in our pasture, so going from 1 to 30 bulls here, the chance of a single sire assignment, given the 28 SNP panel with a probability of exclusion of 95%, is actually not that different to what we got. So you would predict that you would only get about 30% of the animals with a single sire assignment. So what we saw wasn't that different to what you might have expected, given we had this very large number of sires in our group. And when you have a nice strong panel like the microsatellite panel we had in this case, you know, this drop-off is not nearly so bad as what you see in the case of the weaker panel. And this is what the results look like from the actual bulls that we were trying to assign here. And what there's a couple of things that I think a lot of people are starting to see or know about is very large differences in the calf output per bull on this particular ranch. And what's shown here is the purple assignment is what the microsatellite panel assigned, and the light purple is what the SNP panel assigned. And one thing that really jumps out at you here, well, first of all, is the yearling bulls were not really getting a lot of action when they were out with that many older bulls. But what was also concerning was the fact that there was a number of offspring getting assigned to those yearling bulls when you were using the weed panel, and they actually ended up getting an estimated commercial ranch EPD based on no progeny of their own. And so they actually, you know, you could start to draw some very incorrect inferences when you're using this panel. And basically, it just wasn't strong enough to say there's no bulls that match these particular calves in this group. And so, this last slide is a little complicated. I thought it brought across a couple of points that I just wanted to go through real quickly. This here is basically if you had a 28 SNP panel, which is what we have here, it's basically the probability of exclusion given a minor allele frequency of 0.5, that is, would be the perfect SNP marker, it's always going to be 0.5, versus the actual minor allele frequency that we observed in our commercial ranch population, which dropped our probability of exclusion down to this 0.95 level I've been talking about. With the number of bulls we had in our pasture, this is how many you would actually expect to be single sire assigned. That would be with the perfect minor allele frequency, and this is with the minor allele frequency we actually observed commercially. And I think one thing that's of interest here is that as the number of SNP loci increase as you go across from 28 to 84 in this case, whether or not you've got a perfect minor allele frequency of 0.5 or whether you have a more realistic commercial situation becomes less important as the number of SNP loci improve. And I guess if you want to be really pessimistic, I thought this was kind of an interesting little graph down here. The difference between the number of single sire exclusion expected with a perfect minor allele frequency versus what we observed in the field. And you'll see that we actually chose the very worst number of SNP loci to maximize that being the worst possible situation, which I think was a skillful event, we were very good at worst case scenarios. So following on then, we did the next set of sample collections at UC Davis, and basically I'm going to describe the results of 2 years' worth of SNP panels. We had 23 herd sires and 298 calves, which actually weren't all run together, but we ran them all together for the sake of this analysis. And in this case, we used kind of the next generation of SNP panels, where there were 62 of the what I call the MARC loci, which I believe Gary referred to earlier, that are optimized to try to get higher minor allele frequencies. And when we had that particular panel that Igenity ran, we had an average number of loci compared was about 53. And the reason for that is sometimes you don't get calls and invariably it's not the same in the sire and the calf. And so that was kind of the average that we ended up getting, with a range from 6, and that's something I'll talk about, through to 62, which would be the perfect situation. And we did allow for one mismatch, and that's another thing I'll bring up. You know, how many mismatches should you allow? And if we assume the minor allele frequency was 0.5, that's a pretty strong panel. That's about 99.9 as the probability of exclusion. And then in 2007, we did a similar experiment, 28 herd size, 303 calves, and this time we used the 99 panel, which I believe is the current version that you guys are using for paternity testing. The average number of loci compared in that case was 87, with a range from 14 through to 99, and again we allowed one mismatch, and now our probability of exclusion is getting very high. So what do those results look like? In 2006, that, just to remind you, was the 62 potential loci getting compared. We were up at 86% single sire assignments, which is pretty good. And actually, the number of sire assigned per calf being 0 was, again, that situation where you just didn't have the sire in your DNA sample. And again, I'm not 100% sure on our ranch what that is, if it's bulls jumping fences or healing bulls servicing their mothers or something, because we really still, we always seem to get a small number of these animals, but just we can't find a sire for them. We still had 14, or about 5%, that were assigned to two sires, and only one that were assigned to three or four, so certainly a lot better than the 23% single sire assignments we saw on the Prager Ranch. And then the results this year, 2017, were really nice. Again, we had a few little ones that just didn't assign to anybody, but we had a 97% assigned to single sire and only one animal that was assigned to two sires. And I had to check out what was going on there, given how strong this panel was, and that was basically an AI sire's son, and the AI sire had been used in our herd that year, and that was basically who this animal was qualifying to, but we knew that the bull was who was running with that cow, and she hadn't been used, she hadn't been AI, and so, you know, we could have worked that one out. So I think we've seen an evolution of SNP panels over the course of the time that we've been using this for our commercial ranch projects, going from, you know, only single sire assignments of 23.3% all the way through to 97, and I personally am pretty happy with the 99% panel that we've got now. I think the results we got this year were quite nice. Now, one of the things I will mention about this is we have allowed a single SNP exclusion in that 97%, and there were only 8 or 9 animals that we had to do that for. But that is one question that you need to think about as you go from an increasing number of SNPs, as you've got an increasing potential for genotyping errors. And similar to the discussion with microsatellites, you know, how many exclusions should you allow to come through while still doing your paternity assignments? And I thought there was a really interesting thing that was in the ICAR paper that Wiggins et al. Presented this year, which stated that the low rate of genotyping errors was that 1.5 inconsistencies were usually found when parent progeny assignment was correct on the 50K chip. However, several thousand inconsistencies were usually found when parent progeny assignment was incorrect. So that suggested to me that there's only 5 inconsistencies in 50,000 Ks. That's an amazing genotyping error, or very, very low genotyping error that's being seen with that particular technology. And I think with different technologies, you're probably going to see different rates of genotyping error. And so I guess the next couple of slides go through, to me, what I would see as some of the issues to think about in considering using SNPs for paternity assignment and also just confirming pedigrees. And I'm going to go into some of the problems that we ran along to into along the way. And I love this slide that's showing the problems of trying to get flood on the pathway to you come in, and that was one of the problems we ran into. But some of the problems we run into is that as the SNP panels change from year to year, you've got your DNA, you've got your bull genotype 1 year, and then you get the next year and you have to re-genotype them because the SNP panel has changed from year to year. And so that's one problem. Sometimes, and not often, we had a poor call rate, and that was especially problematic when it was a sire. If you had a sire with only 20 SNPs, say, that were correctly called, he could be potentially a sire. It's basically bringing you back to as if you were using the really low low power SNP panel, and he would potentially qualify for a much larger number of progeny than he should have given you having full genotyping. We had this happen occasionally. We would have a bull that it was genotyped from year to year with the same SNP loci, but we'd have a different result. So which year do you call the right one? And so that was just another issue we ran into. And there was occasionally some sample tracking problems that we ran into. But I guess the big question that I would ask as considering about using SNP markers for parentage, and I think it's likely that they're probably going to replace microsatellite markers. I don't know the time frame, but I would guess over the next 5 years, is which SNP panel should be used and how many SNP markers should be included in the panel. And I guess to me, these are analogous questions to what ICAG has addressed when you're looking at microsatellite markers and how many should we use and what sort of, which ones are going to be the gold standards, I guess. How powerful should this panel be? I think certainly for some of these large multi-sire populations, I am thinking that the 99 panel is good for that. It, of course, going to depend on your application as to how powerful you're going to need it to be. But to have some consistency in which panels get used will at least allow you to sample animals at different labs at different years and still be able to use those results as time goes on. What should be the minimum number of compared loci that's allowed in the case of incomplete genotyping? And that was, as I said, one of the problems you run into with a bull only has 20 SNPs genotyped. He qualifies to too many of those animals. And so let's just say you've got a 99 panel, what should be the minimum number of comparisons allowable for you to do an assignment and feel confident that that actually is the true assignment? And then finally, how many exclusions as a function of compared loci should be allowed to account for genotyping errors? I allowed one exclusion in the 99 panel, and that allowed some animals that wouldn't have been assigned to be assigned if I had allowed zero exclusions. And there is a certain base level of genotyping error, and I think if that number for the 50K chip is true, that would suggest that there's a very low genotyping error rate in that particular platform, which may be different to the one that's chosen. And so I think these are general questions that need to be thought about and addressed before there's kind of a movement to using this universally, because otherwise you're going to have difficulty doing comparisons between labs, between breeds, across years, and it would be good to get those definitive answers to those questions before moving forward with using SNPs for parentage assignments.